You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Erica Mailman is an award-winning historical horror writer. She's a Bram Stoker Award finalist, and she's the author of the Lizzie Borden novel series. She just finished this new book in the series. She's launching it with an event in Sacramento on Saturday. The murder of Lizzie Borden's father and stepmother is true and frightening, and she will launch her event this Saturday telling part of the story. Hi, Erica. Glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So we know the story of Lizzie Borden because of the jump rope rhyme. I'm not going to assume that everyone knows it. So do you want to speak the rhyme?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the best four-line synopsis there is of the case. And it is, Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. And actually, there were very much fewer whacks than that. Abby received 19 and Andrew 11. But when you think about the brutality of such an act, it's still quite a number of blows.
And it happened 175 years ago, as of August 4th. And we're still so captivated by it. Why do you think?
Yes. This is a true crime case that has endured for 175 years. I think there's interest in the case because of the juxtaposition of such a genteel, youngish woman involved in such a horrible, brutal, bloody act, although she was acquitted. And I think that that's the other reason why interest endures is this may be a sort of sense of she got away with it, and maybe the jury was incorrect. So many people think she was guilty of this crime.
Your book looks at the case from the point of view of the Irish maid, Bridget Sullivan. And she ended up being the star witness in the case?
Oh, no, absolutely.
No?
The opposite. In fact, I think because she was Irish in an era when Irish immigrants were really scorned and discounted, her testimony was really not given. She was not interrogated the way she should have been. Mm. Her living quarters were not searched. She slept on the third floor in an attic bedroom. And the entirety of the attic, besides another spare bedroom, was the footprint of the house was boxes and the perfect place to hide a murder weapon or bloody clothing. And because that was considered her territory, it wasn't even searched. You know, she was discounted because she was a servant, but also because she was Irish in an era where Irish immigrants were not given much credence or respect.
You bring the story into contemporary times because you add a character and a whole storyline, and that allows us to really touch and walk through the story today with modern language and modern happenings. But you do something that I've read that a lot of people do with approaching Lizzie Borden, and that is try to weave in your own beliefs about the case. And it's supported by history, of course, but it's a historical novel. So you're filling in some of the gaps.
Yes, I'm really appreciative of the modern day narrative that threads throughout the book because it is an opportunity for me to make some social commentary, to have a feminist perspective that is not permissible in the historical storyline. I can look at treatment of immigrants, past and present. Of course, right now, that's so important to be thinking about and talking about. I also have an opportunity to talk about foster care and how early childhood trauma affects how people grow and face the world. I call my book Bloodthirsty with a Social Conscience. That's because, yes, it is about the brutal hatchet murder of two people in 1892, but then it's also a look at a lot of other social issues that face us today as well as back then, including why we're fascinated with murder. I visited the Lizzie Borden house, which is now a bed and breakfast, a murder-themed bed and breakfast.
Yeah. Popular, too.
Yeah, very popular. Every room is filled. And I spent the night in my character's attic bedroom. And I just had to question why is there such interest that every room is filled night after night?
Mm-hmm. What was it for you? In fact, do you remember first discovering the story as a young person?
I don't remember, but I grew up in Vermont, and I think because the murders took place in Massachusetts, it's still kind of more of a talked about, thought about kind of you know, New England history. When I first learned that the house was a bed and breakfast, I was appalled. And I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me, because certainly people who are interested in this murder will be hopefully readers of my novel. It was my editor who suggested that I really needed to stay at the house for the purposes of the novel. And in a way, I was really glad, like being told to do something that you kind of secretly want to do makes it easier to justify it to yourself. So I'm really glad I did it. And I think it helps, because there is a scene where the modern day character goes and stays at the house.
How much is Fall River, that community, still a Lizzie Borden community?
It's really interesting, because they reject the Lizzie Borden story a lot. They want to be known for other things. I think that they feel like it's distasteful to be known as a murder town. And yet there is incredible tourism, both for the house and also for the grand house that Lizzie and her sister bought after the acquittal, with the proceeds from inheriting that money from their very rich father. And also the cemetery is a tourist destination. They even have arrows painted on the ground to direct you straight to the Borden plot.
Well, it probably saves a lot of asking of questions when people come to town.
Yes.
You just said her sister. It's so interesting that we really know Lizzie as the name, but we don't know the name Emma Borden.
Right. Emma sort of quietly shuffles around in the background of the story. She was not home at the time of the murders. There's so many theories that maybe Emma left town saying, you know, take care of business while I'm gone. There's even, I saw a wonderful, like a rock musical here in Sacramento maybe 9 months ago at the Actors Playhouse. And the premise of that play was that Emma gave Lizzie a book of poison and told her, poison the family while I'm gone, take care of it.
And yet that really caustic relationship between these two sisters is part of the dynamic that really led everybody to say, oh, yeah, that was a troubled house. It was a troubled family.
Yes. The sisters really hated the parents, although Abby was a stepmother, not a mother. And they dined separately. So Irish maid Bridget Sullivan had to serve two separate servings of every meal, clear away, start over again. They had different paths through the household. They used different staircases so they wouldn't run into each other. It was a divided home.
That's Erica Mailman. She's author of The Witch's Trinity, which was named a San Francisco Chronicle notable book. And that's the book that won the Bram Stoker Award nomination. Erica also wrote Woman of Ill Fame, a Pushcart Press Editors Book Award nominee. So this is getting great reviews. People love the fright factor in it. And I think it's written as such a fast flow. In the back, you do have spoiler information. And you're encouraging people to use the hashtag MurderersMade if they want to ask you, is this true? Is this not true? Is some of that happening with the book?
I'm not seeing that right away, because the hurricane delayed shipment of the physical copies of the book, and they only just now hit the warehouse a few days ago. So now you can go into your local Barnes & Noble and find it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to people doing that fact checking, because when I read historical fiction, I'm always like, well, was that part true? That's interesting to wonder about that. And so I'm just welcoming people, like, go ahead and hit me with it. I'll happily answer it.
I don't want to get too deep into this, but you do have an epilogue that addresses what might have happened to Bridget. Is that a what might have happened, or is that truly what happened?
That is a what might have happened. The name Bridget Sullivan, believe it or not, was so common that in the place where they believed that she went and settled, there were like hundreds of people with the name Bridget Sullivan. So it's difficult to determine, was this the particular one? And she kind of...
And is it true that she married a man whose last name was also Sullivan?
Yes. So. Well, we think so. We think it is that Bridget Sullivan, but it's not 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, it was an era before the internet and web searching and fingerprinting on a regular basis.
Haven't really addressed this character you created, Brooke, but just describe how she fits into the family.
Okay. Brooke is our modern day character, who is the daughter of a Mexican immigrant. And her mother has died under mysterious circumstances. And she believes that the people who killed her mother are after her. So every, you know, half a year, she reinvents her personality, takes on a new name, moves to a different town, and is paid under the table, which she can do, and lives that way, town to town. And then she learns she has a connection to the Lizzie Borden story.
All right. And you can get so much more of the Lizzie Borden story from Erica Mailman this Saturday, 3 o'clock at the Avid Reader Sacramento. The book, again, is titled The Murderer's Maid. And great to talk with you about it. I think we could have filled the hour because the fascination goes on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
As Erica says,
talking to you.
Bloodthirsty and wholesome. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. There's much more online, and we're back with another live show tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.